Australia's corporate regulator ASIC has introduced a new initiative to the top 21 companies on its watch list. They're giving a psychologist a seat in the boardroom. This comes after the Banking Royal Commission exposed cultural and governance problems in the top tiers of major corporations. Critics say it's simply a small idea that's captured the corporate zeitgeist. But can it really fix the problems in Australia's corporate culture? Pamela Hanrahan is a professor of commercial law and regulation at UNSW Business School in Sydney and joins us. Pamela, welcome.
Thanks, PK.
So what sorts of issues is ASIC looking to address here?
Well, I think ASIC is concerned, as we all are, with making sure that major companies in Australia are well run, and it's launched upon the idea of a corporate governance task force that's been specifically funded by government. And I think the original intention was that ASIC would go in and really understand how companies are run on the ground rather than just in theory. And so they've adopted a range of measures to try to give themselves some more information about what's actually going on.
What would a psychologist do at board meetings?
I think there's two parts to this. And the first is, would putting a psychologist in a board meeting be helpful? That's the first question. The second is, would putting somebody appointed by the conduct regulator in a board meeting be helpful? And that's an entirely different issue. So let's just talk about the first one. What would a psychologist bring to the table? I think lots of us who've served on boards or even committees or local bodies understand that maybe having somebody with that kind of discipline perspective to look at how we interact with each other and people who come in and talk to us in the meeting, could give us some really valuable insights. And so lots of boards, when they look at their own effectiveness, will bring in consultants and use people from different disciplines to give them a bit of an outsider's view on how they're functioning and what they might be able to improve upon. And certainly boards that I've served on have done that in the past, and that's been helpful. So I think having an outsider's perspective on how you're interacting with each other, who's asking questions, who's not, who's speaking up, who's not, that can be really helpful for you as a group to think about how you're functioning effectively. But I might say, I think that's a very different proposition from saying, let's send somebody appointed by effectively the policeman to sit in on our board deliberations, and that's what we've got at the moment.
Okay. Would they just be a passive observer, or would they have an active role?
I think it's difficult to say because ASIC hasn't been that open about what this project is, but my understanding is that the ASIC-appointed psychologist is intended just to be an observer and to report back to the conduct regulator on what he or she observes in terms of the dynamics of what's going on in the boardroom. So, as I say, that's a different question from, would we as a board choose to bring in a consultant psychologist to think about how we interact with each other and what we might improve about that?
There are concerns that having an ASIC-appointed psychologist would dilute the power of the board or undermine senior management. What do you make of that argument?
I think it's an initiative that I'm not in favour of. I do think that having a government-appointed official, which however you dress this up, this is what it is, sitting in a board meeting will either distract the board from its important task, which is to manage the company in the interests of all of its stakeholders, or maybe have a chilling effect, given that directors will know that somebody is sitting in the room who's reporting back to somebody who has power, if things turn out badly, to take personal and quite onerous action against that individual. So I suppose having somebody on behalf of the regulator sitting in the board meeting might impact on how directors behave and make them worry perhaps a little bit more about their own position rather than concentrating on what they should be doing, which is paying attention to the management of the company.
We haven't got much time left, but just on this initiative by ASIC is based on a model used in the Netherlands. Given the difference in governance styles and just lots of differences culturally between the two countries, does the use of a psychologist, can it be compared to the Netherlands? I mean, do we have a pretty different context, don't we?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question. I think it has been used by prudential regulators in lots of jurisdictions. That's different, obviously, from ASIC. which is a conduct regulator. So it's an enforcement agency as distinct from a prudential regulator who looks after the banking system and makes sure that banks are managing risks in a way that's appropriate to ensure that we don't have a repeat of the global financial crisis. But in terms of conduct regulators, that is people who enforce directors' duties with big fines or penalties, as we know now, up to $1 million, that's a very different exercise. Also, I think Dutch corporate culture is really different. They have a two-tier board. They have a different appreciation of the extent to which organisations ought to be open and accountable. And indeed, the Dutch regulator itself is subject to all of the same accountability regime as it imposes on Dutch companies. So it's subject to all the same corporate governance controls and oversight. It has an independent board and so on that it expects of the entities it regulates. And it's a very different picture in Australia.
Pamela, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Pamela Hanrahan is a professor of commercial law and regulation at the UNSW Business School in Sydney.